Now, dear friends, I would like to offer two sermons that are concerned with issues of the day. Now, it is unfortunately true that the AWACS sale was passed and not overruled by Congress. The issue is neither gone nor forgotten, especially since a great deal of latent anti-Semitism has been rising to the surface because of it. We are fully as threatened by anti-Semitism as we are by the weapons in the hands of our enemies. And perhaps the threat is even greater because it is from our own society. So while these sermons might be considered dated, dealing as they do with the AWEC sale, the larger issue is still with us. And so I offer them to you in order for you to read behind the lines, to perceive the lesson of vigilance that applies all the time.
The first sermon was delivered on Shabbos Shuvah. The text is taken from the Haftorah, Shuvah Yisrael, Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Take with you words, that is to say, a plea for forgiveness, and return to the Lord. That's from the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. These opening words of the last chapter of the prophet Hosea give the Sabbath its name, Shabbos Shuvah. It's the call to repentance, to retrace one's path, to draw away from the wrong direction and return to God's way, which alone can bring satisfaction and happiness. The prophet had seized upon the best possible psychological moment to issue this call, "Return, O Israel, for you have stumbled in your iniquity." For a man can't as easily mend his ways when things are going well as when things are going ill. When he's happy and prosperous, he's far less likely to seek a change as when the consequences of the life he's leading catch up with him, when he finds himself in hopeless trouble and realizes it's time to get out and retrace his steps to surer ground. Now surely this applied to the troubled northern kingdom of Israel to which Hosea spoke. The fate of the northern kingdom of Israel that it had brought upon itself was showing signs of immediate fulfillment. The destruction of the kingdom and the exile of the 10 tribes of Israel, which Hosea had foretold, were to be realized in a few years. But meanwhile, everything pointed to a national disintegration and decay. Anarchy reigned. Highway robbery and murder stalked the streets. Political assassination had reached such a stage that during only 1 year of Hosea's prophetic activity, Israel had 3 kings. I suppose their equivalent of Central Park was as unsafe as our own after dark. No one could deny that Israel had stumbled in its iniquity and was soon to fall. And it is these circumstances which give the prophet some faint hope that perhaps at last his call might be heeded. Are the circumstances in which we find ourselves today, however, such as to make us equally receptive? When today the call goes out for return and repentance, when we daily during Slichos and again soon on Yom Kippur repeat the words, "We have turned away from thy good judgments and commandments, and it has not been worthwhile to us," do we mean it? Do we respond to it? I suggest that the answer must be, individually, not. Collectively, yes. Individually, we don't often accept the fact that there is need for self-improvement. We are usually tolerably well satisfied with ourselves and with our conduct towards God and our fellow men and women. We feel we are, on the whole, good fathers and mothers, good husbands and wives, good children. We could, of course, be better, but nicht gefällig. We could be a little more observant. We could pray a little more sincerely and often, be more charitable and humane, more kind, more generous, but nicht gefällig. When we look at the collective state of our people, however, the collective state of the country and of the world, then our complacency disappears. Then it is gefährlich in the stark and literal sense of the word. Then we see danger, real danger on every side. Then we see OPEC tentacles everywhere, economy in shambles, revolutions, counter-revolutions. An Israeli ambassador to Bolivia told me on Rosh Hashanah that in 3 years of his tenure, he had 10 presidents in Bolivia. Then we see Israel beset on every side with enemies. We have almost grown accustomed to danger, almost made peace with it, else we would have made a far greater stir than we have done about the proposed AWACS sale to Saudi Arabia. What must be the relationship between the goodness of the individual and the dissatisfaction with mankind? There's an old Latin proverb, the senators are good men, but the Senate is a wild beast. Isn't that our attitude? Let us look again at our text. There is one peculiarity of it that is apparent to anyone who knows Hebrew. The first verse, Shuva Yisrael, return, O Israel, is in the singular form. Take with you a plea for repentance, kechuimachem dvarim, that's in the plural. The first, apparently, is addressed to each individual Jew, but the second is addressed to all the people collectively. This emphasizes the truth that I mentioned on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that since the world is made up of a collection of individuals, its moral atmosphere must be the sum total of the attributes of the individuals who make up that society. The better world for which we pray can come about only if we consciously try to better ourselves individually. Shuva Yisrael. There's no more apt way to picture this than the Talmud statement about repentance. Let each man consider himself as equally compounded of good and bad, with the result that the world as a whole sways evenly between salvation and damnation. One mitzvah, one righteous deed by even only one individual might tilt the balance to the side of merit and salvation. One unworthy act might have the opposite effect. Now let me address a collective danger to our people. I mentioned it only a few moments ago, the proposed AWACS sale to Saudi Arabia. It is one of the most critical dangers to Israel and America, not only because of the possibility that they might fall into enemy hands, not only because they expose Israel's air movements as never before, not only because the control and ownership by Saudi Arabia of these planes make America more dependent upon that nation's goodwill, but also because, should Israel ever be forced into war again, it would be compelled this time to fight Saudi Arabia too, together with its other enemies. It would be compelled to shoot down those AWACS, even if they have American pilots, and that might create a catastrophic confrontation of allies. And also because, with the AWACS, go 1,700 almost impossible-to-miss Sidewinder missiles, the deadliest in the world, and enough to knock out every Israeli plane from the sky, and fuel pods to extend their reach into the Israeli heartland, and if that weren't enough, the tankers to refuel them too. It's a collective danger, but it can only be avoided by a great deal of individual action. I ask you to speak out, because my information confirms Haig's estimate that many opponents of AWACS in the Senate are wavering and will bolt to the side of confirmation at a sign of compromise or pressure or arm twisting or promises by the government. However cosmetic any compromise might be, they will seize upon it, and the compromise need not be proposed by the government until the very last minute. I therefore appeal to you to write and telegram your senators and representatives to oppose the AWACS sale, to write letters to thank senators from other areas for their opposition to the sale, and to do all you can to help mobilize our people and make them aware of the danger to Israel and the precarious state of the opposition to that proposed sale. I must also tell you that our office will be working to send out telegrams in your behalf with your authorization and build to your telephone if you so desire. Shabbos Shuvah is a day to remind us of our tshuva obligations. Rambam tells us that Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva for everyone, layochid v'lorabim. Let us bear in mind the relationship of our individual selves to the many, not only in collective crises such as AWACS, but in every act that can bring us to greater piety, morality, truth, and righteousness. Shuvo Yisrael, return each one of you, O people of Israel, and Kui Mochem Borim, let all our people together become at one with their Maker. Amen. Amen. This second sermon was given on Sukkos. The text is taken from the Mishnah, a Mishnah that many of the congregants have studied during the morning Mishnah class. Lulav ha-gozel v'hayovesh posel, hodos ha-gozel v'hayovesh posel, arovo, esrog, ha-gozel v'hayovesh posel. A stolen lulav, a stolen hadas, a stolen esrog, a stolen arovo, they are all impossible to use, they're forbidden to use, they are posel, they're not kosher. In all of these cases, there's a special requirement of ulakachtem lochem, take your own. In fact, even borrowing an esrog is not sufficient. It must be your own. It cannot be borrowed. If someone gives us his esrog to use for a bracha, he gives it to us as a gift, although immediately we return his gift, and even if there is a condition attached that we must return it, it must be as a gift. Otherwise, the bracha is not kosher. It has to be lochem. At least during the bracha, it has to be our own. I suggest that in this lies an important lesson for our people. Ulakachtem lochem mishalochem, you're to take your own, not someone else's. Remember that our first stop on the way out of Egypt was Sukkot. From Ramses, the route of our people was directly to Sukkot. At Sukkot, we were suddenly a free and independent people. We look forward to receiving the Torah. We look forward to entering the Promised Land. Behind us, we left the slavery and the misery. A people needs laws, ideals, goals. It needs a plan of society. It needs a way of life, a way of thinking. And God commanded us for all time, ulakachtem, take all of these things, of course, but mishalochem, your own, not from any other group or culture, let them be your own. Your land, it will be yours only when you learn this lesson. For years, for centuries, yearning to return, we prayed and hoped and waited for other nations to give it to us. It wouldn't come true. Ulakachtem lochem. Only when, miraculously, our people began to take their own back again, pressing on in spite of other people and other nations, with illegal immigration, with our own Haganah Defense Organization, with our own back-breaking labor and our own willingness to sacrifice even our lives if need be, would the land really be ours again. Ulakachtem lochem. Take your own. There are many theories of education. There are many ways to educate, many places to be educated. But unless you find ways to teach your children and grandchildren their own Torah, their own tradition, their own history, their own values, they'll not be yours. Then you might lose them. Teach them your own, and they'll be your own. Ulakachtem lochem. Borrowed values, borrowed culture, borrowed ethics is possible. It's not kosher. It won't last. And it will alienate them so that they too will belong to somebody else. Your society must be structured. But why must it rest on the laws of others? Two Jews have a litigation. Let it be a din Torah, our law, mishalochem. Morals, ethics, the ability to discern between good and evil, justice and injustice. Too long have we borrowed these from the hypocritical cultures around us, values spawned in selfishness, born in a dog-eat-dog society. You have your own values, your own ethics. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Seek justice justly. Of Eben tzedek, Hin tzedek, of correct weights and measures, of love your neighbor as yourself, of giving wages in the very day, of if your neighbor is down, help him, raise him, lift him up. No ethical system is greater and more noble than your own. Why let the golos, the exile, corrupt you by teaching the the tainted ways of others. Learn your own ways of truth and justice and honesty and honor. Ulakachtem lachem, mishalachem. You must develop families. Again, ulakachtem lachem, mishalachem. Take of your own faith. Take wives of your own people, husbands of your own faith. Build families upon the foundation of Jewish practice and Jewish warmth. Of kabedis avicha v'simecha, honor your father and your mother. Of a Shabbos, of a Tables Niros, of a Pesach Seder, of a Sukkah and its lessons, ulokachtem lachem mishalachem, take your own. Your vision for the future. What do you seek? Money? Honor? Power? For what purpose? Only for pleasure? Even security? These are important, but there are things beyond that. There are your children around your table, planted and beautiful. There are visions for our people, peace and the time of Mashiach. These are mishalochem, they're your ideals. Cultivate them, defend them, work for them. To bring these ideals to pass, you're given money, honor, and power. How do you use them? How do you respond to political challenges? Do we borrow the opinions of others? Are we weak and compromising when our people's honor and security is at stake? Or do we show the independence and the courage commanded in ulakachtem lachem? The Wall Street Journal, in an editorial, pointed out that to be a friend of the United States in the Middle East is considered fatal. Unless, it goes on to say, like Israel, they learn to be a friend of the United States while guarding its own independent action, doing what it knows is best for its own security. Ulakachtem lachem, take your own. We have seen and heard praise lavished on Sadat. He was hailed as the savior of the Middle East, the bringer of peace, the fighter for peace, who died for his ideals. Do we take these opinions of commentators and short-sighted news analysts as our own? Or do we have our own independent ideas? I am the first to give Sadat his due when comparing him to other Arab leaders. But I cannot praise him without reservations which stem from truths that I do know as you do. That he died on the very day that commemorated his Yom Kippur surprise attack against Israel. And at that time, he was not the champion of peace. That it was only when pragmatically he saw that he had everything to lose by war and everything to gain by peace that he agreed to change his course. I see Sadat from the point of view of Mishalochem. And our friends, Carter and Ford, they were friends, they said. Surely in the White House they professed friendship. Are we to accept their words then as truth? Or are we to see in their statement that sooner or later the United States shall have to recognize the PLO the real truth about their friendship? And if leaving the White House reveals the true nature of their so-called friendships, do we not have the right to be at least cautious about the so-called professions of friendship of incumbents in the White House? White House betrayals go back before Yalta. Do we then not as Jews have an obligation to be wary, cautious, ever watchful that they do not happen again? Why then are we given money, honor, power, if not to defend our people, seek our own safety, bring to reality our ideals, that lead to the goals of peace and tranquility for our people? Ulakachtem lachem mishalachem. In all of these, take your own ability, talents, gifts, and use it for your own. This is the great message of these three words in the Mishnah. Lulav hagozel posul, a stolen or borrowed lulav is not kosher. Only mishalachem, your own gifts, your own talents, your own culture, your own ideals, your own Torah will guide your own destiny. Ulakachtem lachem, mishalachem.